St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri was given the title the Second Apostle of Rome, St. Peter being the first apostle. St. Philip Neri, he lived at the end of the 16th, early 17th century, and he brought about such a renewal in the church in Rome that they called him the Second Apostle. And he had his altar servers trained. When they would see someone leaving after receiving Holy Communion, who was not staying for the end of the Mass and the final blessing, the altar servers, they'd look at one another, they'd go and they'd get the processional candles and they'd chase down the man or woman, and they would follow him outside of the church, and they'd get one on one side, one on the other, and the person would look at me, what are you doing? They said, well, Jesus is in you. You are a living tabernacle right now, so we want to show reverence to our Lord. It was one of the many ways he tried to instill in his parishioners a great love for the Eucharist. My brothers and sisters, the Eucharist, when you come forward to receive him, that host is alive. Jesus Christ says it is living bread. One of the miracles of the Eucharist. And this happened actually in the 1990s in a Central American country. You can read all about this. It's all documented on the internet. A priest who was struggling with his faith. He's celebrating Mass. He consecrates the host. Afterwards, he looks down and there is human flesh on the host, on the paten. It blows him away. He does not consume all of it. So after Mass, he goes to a doctor in his church. He says, will you do me a favor? Will you take this and examine it and tell me what this is? The doctor responds to him and he says, this is human flesh. He says, actually, I think it's flesh from the heart. He says, you know what, I'm good friends with a cardiologist. Let me send it on to him and get his thoughts. The cardiologist, who was not a man of faith, responds, and he says, yes, you're right. This is tissue from a human heart. He says, but there's something you are not telling me. And it is a total scientific impossibility. This heart tissue is still alive. My brothers and sisters, the Eucharist is the most dynamic force in the universe. More powerful than an atomic bomb, more powerful than a nuclear weapon. Such weapons, they can destroy life, but they cannot give life. And what is the life with which the Eucharist is alive? It's eternal life. Nothing else can give that. Every time we receive the Eucharist, we share more fully in the gift of heaven. Divine life expands in our souls. Early Christians, they were martyred when word got out that they were eating someone's flesh and drinking someone's blood. I think any Catholic who takes their faith seriously, at some point in their life, say, okay, this is a little odd. Right? It's kind of grotesque, right? We eat his body and drink his blood. How can that be? My brothers and sisters, how can that be? What do we believe by faith about the Eucharist? We do not believe it is natural human flesh, but supernatural. You remember our Lord after the resurrection? What could his body now do? It could pass through walls. It could enter a room where the door was locked. There was a change in the physicality of our Lord's body. It was now spiritualized. So when our Lord gives himself to us through Holy Communion, it doesn't cause him pain. There's no loss to himself. He doesn't lose life by giving it to us. He imparts life to us. As we consume his flesh and blood, he doesn't lose part of himself. He incorporates us into himself. So there's not a loss of life to him. He is imparting life to us. Another question about the Eucharist. If this is true, that it's really Jesus, and it's the most dynamic force in the universe, why don't we instantaneously become saints the moment we receive him? Why aren't every single one of you, why aren't I a living saint yet? Every sacrament bears fruit to the degree that we are disposed to receive it. So, for example, when a person goes to confession, And let's say they didn't really prepare themselves very well. You know, it's been several years, but you know, gosh, I want to go. And they come in, and as they're confessing, they're kind of dismissing. They say, oh yeah, Father, you know, I did that. You know, I was dumb. They don't seem all that contrite, right? But they're there, so God's going to forgive them. But probably the effects of that confession aren't going to be very profound in their life. Whereas the next person comes in and they say, Father, and you can tell through their confession that they've thoroughly examined their conscience. And they say things like, Father, I never want to do that again. I want to amend my life, and this is my plan to change. And you go, wow, that person, this confession is going to be life-changing for them. It's the same when we come to receive our Lord. Let's say a person comes and they say, you know what, I want to get the most out of this Mass. I'm going to come 5 minutes early. And they come and they kneel down and say, Lord, prepare my heart to receive you. And not just on the day, but throughout the week, they're saying their prayers. They're trying to live a good Christian life. They're attentive when they come to Mass. They're probably going to get a lot out of every reception. Let's say the next person comes and they show up late, as they normally do. And they leave early because that's just the way they do it. And they're not praying all that much throughout the week. They're not all that intentional about living a good Christian life. They're probably not going to change much, even though they're receiving Jesus Christ into their soul. It takes effect. Our Lord transforms us to the degree that our hearts are open to Him. What is the worst thing that we could do? You remember the story about the young woman, who comes to Archbishop Fulton Sheen for confession. And she kneels down and she's behind the screen. And he says, in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, she says, Father, I'm not here for confession. He says, what are you here for? I'm just here to waste a little time. How much time do you want to waste? She said, about 5 minutes. He said, why 5 minutes? She said, so that my mom, who's sitting outside, thinks that I went to confession. He says, why don't you want to confess? Are you afraid? And she said, yes. He said, God will forgive anything and everything. And she said, Father, I don't think He can forgive what I have to say. He said, can I ask a favor of you? Will you allow me to see you? Because sometimes our Lord gives me knowledge and I know people's sins. So she comes around the screen and she sits down and he said, you are a woman of the streets. And she said, yes, Father, I am. And he says, my daughter, God can forgive that. And she said, Father, that's not what I'm afraid He can't forgive. And she got up and left. He hears confessions for about another half an hour, and he goes outside for a quick break. And the girl is standing outside of the doors of the church. And he walks right up to her and he says, please, please come to confession. She says, Father, you want to know what I did? She said, when I started my life, my career on the streets, I was picked up by a police officer one evening. And he brought me to a home of religious sisters who work with women like myself. She said it was the last place in the world I wanted to be, so I made a deal with Satan. I said, I will make a novena of sacrilegious communions if you allow me to escape from here. She said, so I started every day I would receive our Lord, though I knew that I shouldn't be. On the ninth day, it was like the doors were just open and I walked out freely. He went back to the confessional for the next 3 hours. Every person who came in, he said, I want you to pray a rosary for a young girl that she receives the grace to return to confession. He stopped hearing confessions at 9 o'clock. No sign of the girl anywhere. He goes and he kneels before our Lord in the tabernacle. He spent 3.5 hours on his knees. At 12:30, early in the morning, he hears the doors of the church open. There's the young girl for confession. What is the worst thing that we could do in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? What most damages our union with Him? It's to receive Him in a state of mortal sin. And sometimes we think, oh, you know, I need Him. You know, it's going to be okay. I'll go to confession sometime soon. that we get to confession if we're not disposed properly to receive Him into our souls. What is the best thing that we could do in preparation to receive our Lord? Where was the place that God, His Father, prepared for Him that would be most open to His presence? It was the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so many saints say, as we come forward to receive Him, we should ask Our Lady, Mary, give me Your heart to receive Your Son. Because there's nowhere else that is more open to Him. And I close with this. Our Blessed Mother Mary, she gave Him His flesh and blood. She gave that life to Him. And our Lord, in return for that natural life, He gave her back His body and blood supernaturally, not that she could have life on this earth, but that she could join Him in heaven. She is the one who can fill us with the greatest fervor to receive Him. Let us ask her today for a greater love for her Son's body and blood.